I'm glad to be able to come together to worship and serve God and to enjoy a time of fellowship together. I have two cards this morning. Gwenda Riggs is here from Abilene and Teresa Henry from Archer City, and we're glad that they are here, and anyone else may be visiting, we're glad that you've come to be with us this morning. We're going to look this morning in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, in the song we just sang, one of the phrases that's mentioned there is we have heard the Macedonian call. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Turn back to Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas had been sent out after the gathering of the church in Acts chapter 15 to discuss the problem that had arisen in the early church. And it was a difficult problem about whether or not the Gentile converts to Christ should have to keep the law of Moses. Many of the Jewish Christians thought they should, and so they met in Jerusalem with the apostles and the elders of the area, and they came together. They came to the conclusion that the Gentile Christians did not have to keep the law of Moses in order to be faithful to God, nor did the Jews, actually, either one. But they came together, and they said, we want to send this letter, this message, to all of these different churches, wherever they may be, so we'll know what the ruling of God is through the apostles concerning this question. And so Paul and Silas were sent to deliver that message. And on the way, they found a young man by the name of Timothy. You can read about him in the first five verses there of Acts chapter 16. This is where he's introduced to us in the service of God. And he becomes one of the most faithful servants along with the apostle Paul, and a traveler with him. And so then, in chapter 16, beginning at verse 6, it says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing through Mysia, they came to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord has called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, if you understand a little bit about geography, they are in what today is called Turkey. That's these different divisions. There, Bithynia and Mysia, and those were provinces of Rome in that area. And Asia, normally think of Asia as the whole continent, and it was, but there was a part specifically that was a province of Asia. Well, as they came there, stayed the night, and Paul saw a vision of a man from Macedonia. Well, Macedonia is across the Aegean Sea from what today is Turkey over into Greece. And so the idea was that the gospel is going to be taken from where it was and started and over into what would now be the European continent. Now we know from Acts chapter 2, there were people there on the day of Pentecost when Peter and the other apostles preached all the way from Rome. So Christianity had started a little bit all as far as Rome already. But now Paul and Silas and others were going to go over and begin to preach the gospel in Greece and on throughout the European continent there. But it's one of the most unusual occurrences during the book of Acts, for example. It's a unique situation. They were told not to go two or three different places, and they were just not told where they were going yet, but they were just told to keep going, basically. In some ways, it was a turning point of the history of Christianity. And like I mentioned, now instead of the gospel just being in the Asian continent and beginning on the African continent also at that time, he was going to be going into Europe also. And we know there were some faithful Christians in Rome because when Paul finally went there, the church was fairly well established in Rome by the time Paul finally arrived. But they were told not to go north, not to go east, not to go south, but to continue to go the direction they were going west. We might say, well, why did they were they told of that? Now, we don't know specifically, but since Athens was the seat of learning, one of the great cities of the Roman Empire, and Greece was recognized, their civilization was the highest civilization of the time, that would be one place and places they could go to spread the word, like later on in Acts 17. The Apostle Paul there, he came to Athens and preached there on Mars Hill. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 17, it says, Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the Gentile worshipers and the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. So it was a great opportunity for Paul to go these different places. Now look down at verse 21. And one of the reasons he wanted to go over into to Greece was he wanted to go eventually to Athens, because that's where scholars and teachers from all over the world came to learn. And it says in Acts chapter 17, verse 21, for all the Athenians and foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Now, personally, I can't imagine just sitting around waiting every day just to hear some new thing. But that was their primary purpose for being there. Athens was recognized as the intellectual and teaching and educating center of the entire Roman Empire. And so it was important for the Apostle Paul to go there. In fact, when they took him up on Mars Hill, they said, well, what will this babbler say now? And he says, we want to hear this new thing you've been teaching. And so there was a great opportunity. But some people think, well, you know, you can't go over that way or over that way or whatever, because they don't want to hear the gospel over there. But we never know. God told us to go, preach and teach the gospel, and let that word fall into their heart. Many will not accept it, but many people will. So we look at this passage, and we look at the idea for us ourselves. We as God's people, if we're trying to be faithful to Him, ought to act concerning those around us and how we ought to live to be an example to them. We look first of all in Acts chapter 16, verse 6. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit would not permit them. So Paul was directed by the Holy Spirit not to go into Bithynia or all these other places around there. Just keep on the road where he was going. And the Spirit did not tell him where to go. He just says, you keep going that way. Paul and Silas may not have understood yet why they could not go to Bithynia or to speak in Asia. Maybe it was a puzzle to them, but he was not going to go against the message which the Spirit gave to them. So they obeyed God's promise and God's teaching to them. So the Spirit would not allow them to go to the right or to the left. And so they just had to keep on going. And so the Spirit understood that there was a field of labor that was before them. And His design was to direct them westward, finally to go across the Aegean Sea from what is modern-day Turkey over to Greece. And that's what they were going to do. And He was selecting them for this particular work. Paul's later letters and John show that there was a great deal of work that was done in Asia. And also in going across into Europe. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter says there, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the elect, who are sojourners of the dispersion. That's writing to Jewish Christians who are scattered out everywhere. To the dispersion in Pontus and Galatia, Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia. So Peter and others went to those places. But right now, when we're talking about this, Paul is saying, you go. Well, in the Great Commission, Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel of the whole creation. And so that's to you and me. Well, we may not be able to go 1,000 miles or 5,000 miles or whatever to preach and teach the gospel somewhere, but we can go where we are. And that's what the Word of God expects of you and me, to start where we are. And that's, someone has done that for you and me in our life, if we're in Christ. Someone has taken the time, or maybe several have taken the time, to teach us and guide us in the way of God, to believe and to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, and to give us the promise of eternal life. So, in other words, he says, you go and do these things. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, go and find others and teach those who are faithful, and teach them to teach others. And that's how the gospel is to be spread. And that's the same Timothy we look at here in Acts chapter 16. But there is something more pressing as the Holy Spirit guided them in their service to keep on going, that others would eventually go to those places they were planning on going to. Okay, verse 8 then, he says, so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Some of the work was left behind them. Some was finished, some he would have to go back to later on. But the Spirit was guiding them to go somewhere. There was but one thing for them to do, to go forward, to go as the Spirit directed. Well, again, we go back to the Great Commission for you and me. And Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel of all creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieves shall be condemned. So he doesn't say where to go. He doesn't tell us how that we are to get there, but to do it as where we are and begin from that place. And so there's one thing to do, to go forward. And of course, to advance wherever the Spirit would direct them. Well, the Spirit directs us by the Word of God to go and wherever we are, set an example, teach as best we can, and show the way to others to the promise of eternal life. Paul himself showed the truth of this idea in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Well, how are we led by the Spirit of God? We read, we study the Word of God. It becomes a part of us. That's how the Spirit guides us every day. Not by some special miraculous gift that we receive, but by the Word which He has revealed. When we study the Word of God, we believe and we obey it and we follow it. That's how the Spirit guides our life every day. Now, He is with us every day through that, but He expects us to learn and to study. The Holy Spirit does not overtake our will and our desire, but He guides us in that way to serve Him. Paul exemplified that by the attitude in his life. And so he did what God commanded, as the Holy Spirit commanded him to go. Continue to go straight, as God is directing. Don't go off here or there, which is very okay for him to do so in a normal situation, to go to Bithynia or one of these other places. He could have done that, and God would have been pleased with it. But this time, there was a responsibility. Sometimes maybe we as God's people need to look and see where we need to concentrate our work and our service to God. I think that's part of the idea. In Acts chapter 16, verse 9, he says, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And then it says in verse 10, now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, there's a couple of changes right here in this particular passage we'll point out in a moment. But he saw the vision, a man of Macedonia saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Well, how did he know he was from Macedonia? Well, because they had a different type of clothing. They had a different language that they spoke. And so Paul understood, as the Spirit guided him to go there, that he was from Macedonia. He says, come over and help us. And he said probably, if we read this account, the idea is he was stretching out his hands, asking Paul and Silas to come over there. And that's the vision that the Spirit gave to the Apostle Paul. Paul had seen visions before. And so he knew that this was the Lord speaking to him in that way and directing him where to go. And so it says then the call. And the call then, Acts chapter 16, verse 9, he says, come over to Macedonia and help us. This was in a sense a cry of a spiritually wounded man wanting help and understanding of what God wants of him. And many people in the world today are looking for the same kind of thing. They need help in understanding the will of God. They need help to understand that they are living in sin and need to be taught the will of God and need to be directed to it. And that's the idea here. The cry was for one wounded by sin and needed the healing of God. Also, the idea was that a slave begging redemption. This is not a physical slave, but a spiritual slave. One that was enslaved to sin, which is a concept that's taught all the way, not only through the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament also. When we decide we're going to serve God, we become a servant, basically a slave of God. If we remain in sin and do not repent, do not come to Him, then we remain a slave or a servant of the will of evil and Satan. And so that's the choice we have to make all of the time. It is a cry for one that was hungry for the spiritual bread of life, that he needed that. And so that's the symbol that the Spirit gave to the Apostle Paul. It's strange that Europe, with all its power of Rome and the Greek culture and all of those things and the learning, they couldn't help this man. Only the Apostle Paul, with the message of the gospel, could be a true help to them. And so all of man's power, all of man's teaching, all of the center of learning and philosophy and teaching that was found in Athens and Rome and other places like that make no difference, except they have the Word of God in its truth and power and simplicity. A nation without the gospel of Christ is hopeless and helpless. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith unto faith, even as is written, the righteous shall live by faith. The idea of faith unto faith is whatever faith they had before. To the Jew, it was the law of Moses. To the Gentile, it was some concept of God that he believed. From that faith to a complete faith in Christ by the preaching of the gospel. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3, Paul says, Christ, in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. All the true treasures of wisdom and knowledge was not on Mars Hill in Athens with all the philosophers of the world collected there, waiting to hear some new thing that they hadn't heard before. It was in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you read through that particular chapter of Acts chapter 17. When Paul finished his message, it says some mocked. They made fun of him. They thought, well, that's ridiculous, a resurrection of the dead. And many of them just went away, and he was just another babbler to them. But some believed partially and wanted to hear more of what he had to say. Now, that's all right. That's a good attitude to have. They didn't reject it, but they wanted to hear more. And of course, some accepted it the first time and believed. So that's what they wanted them to do. Like Philip, he was teaching and baptizing many in Samaria in the earlier part of the book of Acts. But the Spirit says, you go down from there to Gaza, and you'll follow what I'm telling you. And he ran into there to the Ethiopian eunuch and taught him the gospel and baptized him and set him on his way rejoicing. So sometimes we may not understand how God causes us to go somewhere or do something for his service, but the Lord is with us if we're trying to serve Him faithfully. And so it wasn't that they said, well, there's so much to do in Bithynia or one of these other provinces, why can't we go there? So they followed the command of the Spirit. Paul and Silas obeyed promptly. They didn't wait, let's wait a week or two and then we'll go over there. No, they went immediately. In fact, they did not confer with anybody else. They just went. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul, in talking about his own call to be an apostle, he says, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, and immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. When Paul was called to be an apostle of Christ, he didn't go back to Jerusalem and consult with Peter and John as whether he could be an apostle or not. He didn't need their approval. Now, he got it, of course, because he was coming to Christ. But he didn't need their approval. It was only from God that he received it. And it's a different situation here, but the action is the same. He didn't have to go back and ask the other apostles or others who he had known before, is it okay for me to go over to Macedonia? Because the Spirit had told him. As God did through the Spirit, He instructed him. And he could have thought, well, okay, there's plenty of people to teach right here. Why can't I just stay here? And besides, there's the dangers of crossing the sea, and it's a foreign land. We don't know much about them. He could have used all those kind of excuses, but he didn't. When the Spirit said go, he went immediately. There's another little side note in this particular passage. Acts chapter 16 and verse 10. I'll notice he was talking about verse 6, for example. They had gone through Phrygia. And verse 7, they had come to Mysia. Verse 10, though, he says, now after he had seen a vision immediately, we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Well, why is there a change from they and them to us? Well, sometime during that time, Luke came and joined them. Luke was the writer of the book of Acts. So sometime on that journey, Luke caught up with them or came to them to be with them. So we have Timothy identified here to start following Paul and with him. Now we have Luke has come back again to be with him on his journey. And the significance of Luke was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. And so he would have been more readily accepted by the Gentiles who were in Greece than the others might have done. So Luke was now there. And until that time, there was no a difference between those who were with Paul. And so along the way, he picked up others with him. So we look at this passage and we say, okay, well, that's all very good, but what can we learn from this? What can we learn from reading this passage about that particular instance? And we read on down through that passage of conversion of Lydia, the conversion of the Philippian jailer, and these other things that became one of the foundation points of Christianity and the teaching of it. So we look at that, and first of all, maybe we learn that if a door seems to be closed against us, don't become discouraged. Sometimes we try to teach, we try to set an example, try to lead other people to Christ, and we think, well, we're not doing any good. We can't seem to break through, but don't give up. Don't ever give up on that. Don't be discouraged and give up trying to set an example to teach and to live. God will open doors for us if we will place our faith and our trust in Him. And also, we need to pray for better understanding and wisdom and to study more. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus says, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. And so that's a promise of God. If we ask and seek and knock, God's going to hear our prayer. Now, He may not always answer it exactly the way that we want, but He said He will do that if we'll place our faith and our trust in Him. Some other thing we might understand is some fields provide more opportunity for the gospel to be spread than others. And we have to seek out what we can do as the best of ability that we have. You know, we can't do the work of someone else. God has given to you and to me certain abilities, certain opportunities that no one else has. So we need to seek those out and be as kind and loving and considerate of people and teaching the message of God and setting example for others. Sometimes the only thing we can do is to set an example and hope and pray that they will take that example and want to know more about the gospel of Christ. And so we look around us and there's so much work to do every day we live. It's always there. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. In other words, the idea is go into our world where we are first. And as we go along our way every day, teach and preach and serve. We need to understand that. Another thing we need to learn is that before any well-done work is done, there must be a vision within it. Now, the vision doesn't mean that we see or receive some miraculous gift from God to see things others didn't. Now, Paul did on that occasion. Nobody else received that, but Paul was an apostle of Christ. He was a special chosen apostle to see these visions and such. But to us, we have to look at vision as far as the Word of God directs. Not necessarily some miraculous one, but forethought and preparation and study and a true desire to serve God and be faithful to Him. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. He's not talking about miraculous vision. He's talking about a study of the Word of God, putting it into practice, and looking forward to serving God to the best of our ability. I'll turn over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 is an example of this very thing. Here Jesus confronts the woman at the well in Samaria. And in John chapter 4, after teaching her, in chapter 4 and verse 33, his disciples come back and they say, therefore disciples said one to another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? And Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and ten? Then comes the harvest. Behold, I say, lift up your eyes and look into the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this saying is true, one sows, another reaps. I say to you that reap that for which you have not labored, and others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. In the context of that, the woman finally realizes that Jesus is the Christ. She ran back into the city, says, come and see this one that I believe is the Messiah, the Christ. And they come out, and Jesus taught them. And so when they're coming out as disciples, just saw a bunch of people coming. But Jesus says the harvest is already. It is ready. And you say it's still 4 months away. Well, physically it was. But spiritually, it was right there. And that's the kind of vision we're talking about, that we're talking about here. Like that, of course, like Paul, we have to be obedient to the heavenly calling. And that calling is not some strange vision we see, but it is the Word of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14 says, we are called by the gospel. That's how we know to believe and to obey and to go and teach others. When our call is to our duty and our work in the vineyard of our Lord, whatever that vineyard may be for every day for us. In John chapter 9 and verse 4, Jesus said to his disciples, we must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. For the night comes when no one can work. So we have to take advantage of the opportunity that we are given to teach and preach the word. Also, we need to understand that regardless of our possessions, we are helpless without the Lord, our Savior. It fills us with a need and an understanding. The first priority in life needs to be the will of God and our service to Him. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, Jesus said, "Take heed and keep yourselves from covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses." In other words, don't let the cares and worries of the world, all of these things, take the place of God. Put the spiritual things first, and like Matthew chapter 7 says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. Paul answered the command and the teaching and the vision of the Spirit sent to him. And he immediately went over there. He taught the different ones there that he talks about in Acts chapter 16. And there are several that came to Christ and were baptized into Christ because of his work. And so he answered that call. Well, we have to find our call to serve, to set an example, to teach as best we can. When we do so, God's going to be with us. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, Isaiah the prophet said to the people of his own day, he was speaking to people who had turned away from God by and large. Some were maybe on the fringes of being faithful, but they needed to hear a message to come back. In Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, go back to verse 16. He says, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away evil from your doings and before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless and plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land." There's the invitation of God to them in that day. We have the same invitation, not to go back to the law of Moses, but to teach and serve under Christ. And he says, "But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." On the day of judgment, we're given account for how we have lived in this life. But we need to prepare for that day of judgment right now. This morning, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as together we stand as we sing.